waiting a little bit because I didn't know if anybody else was going to be coming in, but those that are missing, I think I know why they're missing. I think everybody has a safe fourth, right? Nobody's missing any fingers, thumbs, maybe an eyebrow, right? Just the ones you were previously missing? Good, good deal. All right, well, thank you all for coming this afternoon. I've thrown a lesson together. We'll try to deliver that. And then I don't have any announcements from this morning's service, but we'll kind of follow the same format that Michael's been following. So after our last song, we'll just kind of take some prayer requests, say a prayer, and wrap everything up. So I'll go ahead and start us with a prayer, and then we're going to jump right into our song. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We thank you for your son, for your church, for your kingdom, for your people, Lord. We just ask that you continue to bless us, to watch over us as we enter in each and every day, and we're just faced with different challenges and different, just a different way of life, and we just pray that you continue to be with our country, be with our leaders, be with the entire world, Lord. We've gathered here today to worship you, to praise you. Our desire is to free our minds from the cares and the worries, to place those on you and to focus on you at this time, to give you the praise and the glory. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love.
Be exalted. God, when we have moments of trial and moments of pain and suffering, God, let us remember to count every blessing you've given us. And be with us as we continue to praise and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
More love to thee, O Christ.
All right, get your communion supplies out, and would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your body that was sent to that old rugged cross. I thank you that it was broken for us, and I pray that as we take this bread that we would remember your sacrifice. I thank you that we get to partake in this with you just each and every day, that we get to walk with you and live our lives according to you. Lord, just please continue to be with us and lead us and guide us. It's in your name and prayer, Jesus. Amen. Pray with me as you lift up the cup. Lord, thank you for your blood that was shed on that cross. That only through your blood are we washed pure and clean of our sins. I thank you that your blood did what nothing else on this earth or in heaven or earth could do. Thank you for making that great sacrifice for us. I pray that we never would forget that. It's in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Even though we're not passing the plate right now, we're going to go ahead and lift up a prayer for the offering and also for our mission offering, since it's the first Sunday of the month. Lord Jesus, I thank you for providing for us just everything that we need. I pray that as we return the portion back to you, I pray that it's just used to bless those that are in need and just used to further your kingdom. Lord, I continue to lift up Hui and Nadia and just their ministry down there in Brazil and in the new church that they've started. I pray, Lord, that you just be with them and give them the strength and encouragement and blessings that they need just to continue to grow the body believers down there in Brazil. Thank you for allowing us opportunity to just to help support that. It's in your name, prayer, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Afternoon. Thank y'all for being here. We had a few more come in after we started. We may have started a little too early, so apologize about that. But glad to see that you're here. We'll do a lesson this afternoon, and afterwards we'll have some announcements and we'll have our prayer, and that time you'll be able to make any requests that you might have or anything. So let's start with a prayer. Lord, once again, we come to you this afternoon just thinking of you and your Son and the joy that we have in being a part of your kingdom, the knowledge that we have, the good news, the gospel. Lord, we ask that you continue to write your word on our hearts, that we will share that with our families, our friends, those that are strangers, those that are lost, Lord, that we seek them out and that we bless them. Lord, I pray that you be with me this afternoon, that you will use me as a vessel, that hopefully others will be encouraged and touched. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to be with us daily as we strive to seek your will, to follow you closely. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. As y'all know, I don't see any visitors here. I'm not the normal person that's up here, so I'm a little unpracticed. And Cassie and the boys are not here this afternoon because we got a sick dog at home. And she's normally my filter, and I look to her when I'm doing any kind of Bible class or preaching to kind of, you know, she'll let me know if I'm lagging or if I'm chasing a wild rabbit's trail or whatever. So if we're here for 2 or 3 hours, I'm sorry. No, we're not going to be here that long because I don't like being up here that long. But we'll just go with this, okay? My mom is a little bit of a hoarder. I try not to be. Cassie tries not to be. We come from hoarding families, I guess. And it's understandable. I mean, my mom has a reason, and I understand that. But she keeps everything, and she's kept everything, pretty much. We have a shed stored, and I say shed. I mean, this thing is big enough you could put at least maybe 2 cars, maybe more in it, out at my parents' ranch. And it's full of just all these keepsakes and just, you know, treasures from the past. But anyway, my mom and dad have been going through this, and as they come here and visit us, they've been bringing tubs of keepsakes to my house. Things that they've kept from just different things in my life, and I've had the joy of going through it and throwing it all away. But as I've been going through this stuff, I've come across a lot of things from Boy Scouts. I was in Boy Scouts, and I did a lot of different things in Boy Scouts, and I learned a lot of different things in Boy Scouts. I learned how to tie knots, to whittle. I did the pine car racing. I'm sure some of y'all have done this kind of stuff or familiar with it. I was also taught survival skills. So the first time I was introduced to any kind of first aid or how to read a map or how to navigate, how to find food and water, you know, survival skills, how to make s'mores, you know, things like that. I was taught in Bible, I mean, not in Bible class, maybe in Bible class, some of it, but in Boy Scouts. Anybody remember those foil survival blankets? Blankets is used very loosely on that. You know, it's that foil sheet. Yeah, you know, you make a shelter and all that stuff. But anyway, I did all of that in Boy Scouts. I'm sure some of y'all might have, or any type of scouts that maybe you've done or whatever, if your dad's taught you that kind of thing. But anyway, the Boy Scouts have a motto. Does anybody know the motto? Be prepared. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared. So a lot of this stuff that we did in Boy Scouts, that we were taught, the different types of things when camping and whatever, it was all, a lot of it focused on being prepared. And so when I'm going through this and I'm looking at all this Boy Scouts keepsakes and memorabilia, and I even made a metal paper, toilet paper holder out of like a Folgers coffee can. I don't know. Anyway, when I'm going through all this stuff and I'm thinking about being prepared, I thought, you know, that's a really good motto. Be prepared really is. I mean, it's short, it's simple. It's easy to remember, and I think we all understand it, because I think now we try to be prepared. I mean, we want to either, we put money aside, we have a little savings if we can, we try to get prepared for those unforeseen financial things. If we have a test, those that are in school are studying at home now. If you have a test, you're studying, you're preparing for that test, you want to do well. If you're planning a trip, if you're going camping or fishing, quite a few that like to do that in here. You're going to pack. You're going to see where you're going. You're going to check the weather. You're going to do everything you can to be prepared. If maybe if you push your spouse a little too far, I don't know if I get a little too crazy with Cassie, I better be prepared to sleep on the couch. So we understand what it means to be prepared. And as Christians, we should be prepared as well. I wouldn't say that this is our sole motto, but it should be part of our motto, to be prepared. To be prepared, though, in other ways, more of a spiritual way, or in more of a spiritually minded way, we should look to be prepared. So if you would, let's grab our Bibles here. I'm going to throw a bunch of verses at you, because the Lord talks way better than I do. So we're going to go ahead and start in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to use my phone, because in my haste and unpreparedness, I did not grab my paper one. And I'm quicker with that, oddly enough. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So the first point as Christians is that we should be prepared when tempted. We're already prepared to be tempted. We know we're going to be tempted. But we should be prepared when tempted. We should think about our individual weaknesses, our individual issues, our individual temptations, because everybody's different. Everybody is tempted by different things. Satan knows us very well. He knows all the tricks. He knows how to tempt us. He knows how to push our buttons. So as Christians, to prepare ourselves for that temptation, we should look at how we are tempted, and we should be ready. We should be ready for that and ready to look for that escape, ready to take that escape. And thinking of that, I think about when Jesus was tempted. That's the first thing I think about. Whenever, how do you get prepared for temptation? And if we look at Jesus whenever he's tempted in the desert, every time that we have recorded that he was tempted, his response to Satan was Scripture. Every single time, his response, he went to Scripture. He retaliated. He replied with Scripture. So you think about even in Ephesians 6, when we talk about the armor of God, you know, that sword, that word of God. So think about that. Maybe that, I'm just going to try to throw some tools at you maybe to help you get prepared. If there's a memory verse or there's a passage or something that you can prepare yourself that's going to help in that temptation when it arises, memorize it. Write it down. You know, your mirror in your bathroom or whatever is a perfect dry erase marker. Get you some dry erase markers. Write yourself a scripture on that mirror every morning, or just one that really sits home with that temptation when it arises, so that you can see it, so you can reflect on it, so that you can use that to overcome, to be prepared. Let's go down to James. Let's go to James chapter 4. If I was in Bible class right now, I'd say, whoever gets there first, just start reading now. James chapter 4, 7 through 8. James chapter 4, 7 through 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What I want to point out in here is, I think, has been what's really important for me whenever I'm dealing with temptation. Is that it says right here, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we think about the word flee, it doesn't say that, you know, resist the devil and he'll back off. It doesn't say resist the devil and he'll look away and get distracted somewhere else. I mean, it says he'll flee. So fleeing, I mean, he is running. And what causes him to run? What causes him to flee is just resisting him. So in my life, you know, I've struggled with different temptations. I've struggled with addictions. I mean, and whenever you realize that just that resisting the devil causes him to flee, it really works. And this, I may share a little bit too much of my weirdness here, but I'm going to tell you what works for me. I think about whenever Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And I use that in my life. If I'm feeling that temptation and it's coming on strong and it's coming on hard, I will usually say it in my mind, but if I am really feeling, I will say it out loud. I will say, "Leave me alone. I am his. Get behind me, Satan. That's enough." And guys, I mean, it's worked for me. So, you know, I'm just trying to give you the tools to be prepared. It works. Flee. He will flee. If you draw near to God, God draws near to you. There's power there. So I hope that that encourages you. One more on this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Satan is real, guys. God is too. We talk to God in prayer. I'm pretty sure that Satan hears when we tell him to leave us alone too. Matthew 26, let's read verse 41. 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now this is whenever Jesus was in the garden. His disciples, he told them to stay outside as he went on further. What was he doing? He was about to, you think he was going through some temptation at that time? And he's praying? Well, we'll get to that a little bit later. But we have Jesus right here saying, watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. So another way is to pray. You'd be surprised how many people don't just stop and pray. They feel that temptation. They feel that battle inside them. They see that struggle coming up, and they don't talk to God. They don't take that moment to pray. And so I encourage you to do that, just as the disciples were called to do that, just as we see even Jesus doing it here. He's talking to God. He's talking to God to resist. We're using his word. We're looking for those exits. We're planning ahead. That's a big thing. If you know that you're tempted in a certain way, and it happens the same way every time, and you keep falling and stumbling every time, plan ahead. Plan ahead. What do I need to do different when this happens so that I don't mess up again? So be prepared when tempted. Be prepared. Next, let's look at John chapter 13. I like reading these verses and then seeing if y'all can guess what in your minds, what the next prepared item is here. So John chapter 13, we're going to be 15 through 17 of John chapter 13. So this is Jesus here with his disciples, okay? Just give you a little bit of what's going on. He's taken off his overgarment. He's wrapped himself with his towel. He's gotten down with some water, and he's been sniffing some feet, okay? He's been scrubbing these disciples' feet. He's washing their feet, all right? So when Jesus had washed their feet and put his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So, we must be prepared to serve. As Christians, we need to be prepared to serve. We are called to serve and to be a servant just as Christ himself served. And we can back that up with scripture, of course, because we can go to Mark chapter 10 and look at verses 42 through 45. Mark 10, 42. So much faster with in little dog ears. All right. And Jesus called... He called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So, I think we know what it means to be a servant, right? We even sing the song, "Lord, make me a servant." I know the moms in here know how to be a servant. I've got one at home with a dog and two kids that are crazy and everything else. And so it goes beyond that though, right? It goes beyond just serving our families. It goes beyond just serving our friends. It goes further because if we go to Matthew chapter 25, we read about how we're supposed to respond to strangers or those that are poor. So Matthew 25:34, this is a big one, so if you want to turn there, 34 through 46. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, As you did it for the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So even here, like I said, it goes beyond just the people we like or the people we live with. We need to serve everyone. As Christians, people need to look at us and say, that's weird. This random person is just walking down the road picking up some trash, and that's not even his house. I know he doesn't live there. Or this person, I mean, look at what's going on in their life. What, you know, how do they have the means to go help somebody else? They need help themselves, right? So we're going to be different. We're going to be odd, and it's really odd in today's society to be a servant. We just read about here in, maybe we did. I think we did. But we read about the Gentiles lording it over, right? I think I read that. My memory's horrible. But anyway, the world today looks at that's the way you show success. You know, get up on top. You need to be however many people that, you know, your manager, how many people you got underneath you, you know, who's serving you? And it needs to be the other way around. We need to humble ourselves. We need to look for the opportunity to serve others. We need to be prepared to serve. Be prepared to serve. And going on with when people look at us and they think that's a little odd the way we live our lives, we need to be prepared to give an answer. That's our next point, in case you're jotting down those. Be prepared to give an answer. So when people ask you about your faith, or why you're living a certain way that you're living, or doing something the way that you're doing it, or COVID-19's going crazy and people are wearing masks and everything's just nuts, you can't go get what you want, and people are just looking at you sideways because maybe you're not wearing a mask, whatever the situation is, you know, how are you able to be so joyful? Don't you know that the world is ending? This is the end? You know, what? You need to be able to, or be prepared, that's the word, be prepared to give an answer. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 through 17. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who rival your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So right here, we know that, you know, we're gonna have some suffering, and that's gonna be coming later. We'll talk about that too. But right now we're talking about being prepared to give an answer. So even whenever things are not right, or we're living our lives weird, we're acting different, we're showing love and compassion to our enemies. That's a strange one. We need to be able to give an answer. And I think we all know what that answer is. I mean, that answer, of course, is the gospel. You know, we don't belong to this world. We belong to Christ. We belong to God. We live differently because we are Christians. And the reason for that being is in John 3:16, right? Right? Everybody know John 3:16? I've already put y'all to sleep. Good grief. Okay, John 3:16. Let's go there then. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So right here, talking about being prepared for an answer. If you are going into the light and you're working in the way that you should, it's going to be apparent that something's different here. And then whenever you tell them, my reason for the way I live is because God gave his only son. I am free of sin. I don't have anything to worry about. When you look at it in the grand scheme of things, this life is momentary. Do what you will, because I know where I'm going. I have the salvation. I have the gospel. Let me tell you about it. Here's my answer. Be prepared to give an answer. For our next point, I'll give you all a little trailer to it here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 through 14. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a life, a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. So this one's not much fun. But as Christians, we must be prepared to suffer. And I know that that doesn't really hit home for some of us. But in the times to come, like Michael's been saying every time, so I better say it because he said it every time. This is just the beginning, right? Everything's going on. That's what Michael says. This is it. This is just the start. It's going to get crazy. It's going to get harder. And we can say that in confidence, because we know that that's what's happening to the world. As time goes on, the world is getting further and further and further and further and further away from God. And so, guys, as Christians, we better be prepared to suffer. We better be prepared to suffer, because we are going to suffer. Let's look at 2 Corinthians real quick. We're going to do a couple of verses in a couple passages here in 2 Corinthians if I get my phone to unlock. 2 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 12 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is Paul talking about this thorn in his side. We're familiar with this passage, but I want to look at this in the reference of being prepared to suffer and how he reacts to it. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Look at that list that he gives here at the end. I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. I think we fall into that, right? Maybe not to the extent that he was at this time, but we each deal with weakness. We deal with insults. I have. I don't know if you've been insulted for the sake of Christ. I have. It happens. People don't want to invite you to this. You're not welcome here. Or, oh, here comes a goody two-shoes. You know, wrap it up. You know, do we want to be a part of that anyway? Not really, right? But you're going to have hardships. You're going to have persecutions. But like it says right here, and like we can go back also to chapter 1 in 2 Corinthians. Let's look at that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, oh, there it is again, be prepared to suffer, So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. Oh, that's better, right? We got some comfort coming. Good. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. So, like I said, be prepared to suffer, but we're not alone. We're not alone because, one, we have each other, but number one, we have God. And it says, what does it say about God here? Let me get exactly what it says. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort. All comfort. Who comforts us in all our affliction. So it's not as bad as it sounds. It's going to be bad. But it's not as bad as it sounds because we're on the right side. We're on the winning side. One more here about being prepared to suffer. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll read 18 through 21 of Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revelation, or for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of glory. Let's start that over because I don't want to put emphasis on the wrong thing here. In hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So, I know we're kind of straying a little bit. This is probably when Cassie would be like, you know, twitching a little bit. Go to the next thing. But when we're prepared to suffer, we know we're going to suffer. Christ suffered, we're going to suffer. It's going to come in many different forms, and it's going to continue throughout your life. The more you walk closely to God, the more you draw near to God, you're going to stand out. You're going to be weird. People don't like weird. They point and stare. And it's more than that. So be prepared to suffer, but also know that God is there with you. God is going to comfort you. He's the God of all comfort. He's going to comfort you from all afflictions. And that what we're going through right now, what we go through day to day here in this life, is only temporary. It's only temporary, and it does not compare. There's no comparison to what it's going to be like. And that doesn't say just for you, Matt, that there's no comparison. It says for everybody. So I don't know about you. I've had a pretty nice life. I've had some struggles. But I mean, there's other people in this room that have had way more struggles and hardship than I've had. So it's probably because I guess the Lord thought I wasn't strong enough to lay so much on top of me. But in any case, it says for everybody that whatever you've gone through, whatever you're going to go through, it does not compare to what's going to be revealed later whenever Christ comes back. So let's continue on. No comparison. Be prepared to suffer, though. Be prepared to receive blessings. I like this one a lot better. Be prepared to receive blessings. We as Christians, we should recognize the blessings that God gives us. We should, and I know we overlook it. I overlook it every day. I woke up this morning and took a deep breath. Wow, that is a blessing, right? I have a whole nother day. I am still alive. I don't know, I take that for granted a lot. There was trees outside. That was kind of cool. They blocked the wind a little. But hey, you know, trees, sun, clouds, food. I'm wearing some clothes. So we should be prepared to recognize and receive these blessings and to give God credit. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll look at the 7 through 11. We're all real familiar with this. We want to focus on a few things. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So we need to be prepared to receive good things from God. God's not going to give us a rock. He's not going to give us a serpent. He knows what we need. He's going to give us that bread. He's already given us that bread of life. He's going to give us that bread. He's going to give us that fish. He's going to feed us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to bless us, and we need to be prepared to receive those blessings. Thank you. It's getting a little warm up here. James chapter 1. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, 16 through 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So think about everything in your life that's good. I mean, we named a few. The house, the clothes. What about your spouse? Your kids? Your job, that's pretty good. Your family? Every good and perfect gift. What about Jesus? The greatest gift. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. And it says here, in the last little bit, you know, we know that God doesn't change, but just remember this when you're thinking about everything that's good, every gift that you have. Those are coming from a God who has no variation, and there's no shadow due to change. He's going to reward you. He's going to take care of you. We as Christians need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to receive it. I don't know if any of y'all have stories about whenever God's blessed you, and it was just totally, you know, wow. And maybe at first you didn't realize that it was a blessing from God. It could be something great, and you're like, hey, that's really great. I did really good on that test. I studied really hard. I got an A. I had better than A. I got an A+. You know, whatever it is. You know, we could say it's us. I was working on this problem at work, and nobody else could figure it out, and I just walked over there, and immediately, well, there's the problem right there, and everybody's like, whoa, promotion. You know, yeah, that's, and we don't want to be like King Nebuchadnezzar, that's for sure. I don't want to be eating grass and getting scraggly out in the woods. But no, we need to realize where that blessing is coming from. And then on the other side, God may bless us in a way we don't expect, and it may not be what we really wanted. And then later in hindsight, we look back and we go like, ah, God knew what was going on. That was a blessing in disguise, right? We need to be able to recognize those, but we also need to be prepared to receive the blessings that God gives us. So this afternoon, I don't know what time it is and how long this is supposed to go, but it feels like I've been talking long enough. Have I been talking long enough? Nobody's going to answer. Like, I don't know, that might be a sin. Yes, you've been talking too much. Sit down. All right, so in closing, we go back to that motto. We go back to that Boy Scout motto of being prepared. So the question is, are you prepared? I think about me. Am I prepared? I want to receive that crown of life. You know, I want to walk through those gates. I want to walk up to God someday, and I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. I know I want to hear that. I want to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared for him to return. We need to be prepared for God and his son to return. We can't really have a gospel meeting here without really talking about the gospel here. So we need to be prepared in that we have obeyed the gospel. The gospel, of course, being the good news about Jesus, that he came, that he went to this world, he tread on this dirt, and that he gave himself up. He was raised on that cross, and he died for our sins. And then again, 3 days later, he was raised from the grave, and we need to be prepared because he's going to come back. He will return someday, and he'll call us all home. And I don't know about you, but I'm hoping that you're looking for that day. You're looking forward to it. More importantly, I'm hoping that you're prepared for it. I really do. So, have you put on Christ in baptism? Are you prepared? Are you living your life in service to God and others? Or maybe you're carrying a burden that you shouldn't be carrying alone. You need to lay that on Christ. So I ask, I hope, I pray that you be prepared. If you need anything, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah.
You just thought you were done with me. All right. Well, we're going to go off my memory, which y'all know is just excellent and superb, since I don't have a pen. All right. I don't have anything from this morning. I don't have any. Oh, look at this chest. Oh, gosh. Oh, look. Tried to kill me. Y'all saw it. He tried to kill me. It was sharp. It was even open. Do I have a mark on me? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Do we have any prayer requests? I know we need to pray for all those that are traveling. We got a lot because of the holidays, so we'll just go ahead and put them on there for sure. Those traveling. Yes.
I have a doctor's appointment and an ultrasound on Thursday and Friday, and a good friend of mine is doing a gender reveal for us this coming Saturday.
Okay.
And if I recall, didn't we decide with the request?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to come, let me know. I'll get you the address and stuff. And I'm not putting it together, so I'm not responsible for what happens.
Okay, so y'all both need to close your eyes. Okay. Close your eyes. Who thinks it's a boy? Who thinks it's a girl? Who thinks it's both? Okay, you gotta ask because it might be twins. You don't know. Okay.
No,
okay, it's just one. All right. You think. You trust the doctors that much?
That was my very first question.
You trust the doctors that much? Really? No, okay.
That was question number one, man.
Okay, wow. All right, so yeah, get with Charlie on that if you want to go to that. It's going to be a Saturday, so she'll get you the details and time and whatever I'm sure that you need to know. Anything else? Yes?
Terry's surgery was successful.
Good deal.
We were going to send her home after surgery, but for some reason it wasn't put in order to give her insulin, and by the time they got around to pulling their
mm-hmm. Wow.
So she's in, we call it DKAs, you know what it stands for, but it's a diabetic ketoacidosis right now. So they're trying to get the blood sugar back down to 150.
Just keep her there a little bit, get everything back where it needs to be, and then let her release her after that, I guess. Okay, good deal. And she thinks she's not having twins. She's trusting the doctors that missed that, so... Yes.
It's not a prayer, but so just an announcement. But we brought fresh sweet corn from our garden and laid it outside in a basket.
So you said corn? All right, so there's corn out there in a basket that's free for the taking. So make sure that basket's empty because you've already got what y'all need, right? So yeah, take all the corn that's there. Grab some on your way out. Definitely take that.
Jerry, I have some announcements from the...
Oh, you do? Okay. Okay, so Terry Stone's dad's in the hospital with COVID.
And Kathy Bigham's grandson, Coda, had bacterial pneumonia about 4 weeks ago, and he's never been well since then, and he is back in the hospital. They're admitting him to drain fluid off of his left lung.
Oh, wow. So the pneumonia is just really...
So we need to pray for Coda.
Yep. Okay. Anything else? All right, let's bring these up to our Lord. Lord, we thank you again for this day that you've been able to bring us together to look at your word, to sing songs of praises, to offer up prayers to you. Lord, with this time, we just continue to pray for those that are traveling, those that are not with us. We just pray that you bless their trip, that you give them renewal from their vacations, their time, that you bring them back home safely to us. Lord, also we pray that you be with Charlie with the doctor's appointment coming up, that you just continue to give them good reports, that everything goes well. We also continue to pray for Katie with the baby that's just right here, just knocking on the door, Lord. Just pray that everything goes well, that with both of these children that are eagerly, that we are trying to patiently and eager, but at the same time eagerly await their arrival, Lord. We just pray your blessings on them. Lord, we continue to pray For Terry, we are glad to hear that the surgery was a success, but Lord, we know that things just are still not working good for her. They're having to keep her, they're having to get things balanced out, and Lord, we just know that you have the ability to do that, that you can give her all strength and healing. We just continue to pray for her, that you bless her, that you bless their family, Lord. We also pray for the Stone family. Just continue to pray that you be with them, that you be with Terry's father, who's in the hospital now, just fighting the same thing that others are out there fighting, that you give him extra measure of strength, you give him healing. Lord, we also pray for Coda that's been battling with pneumonia. We just pray that you clear the lungs, that you help Coda overcome this battle. Give him the strength that he needs. It only comes from you. Lord, we ask that you be with us this week, that you will guide us, that you will help us to be prepared for all the things that you have laid out before us, that we will be strong, that we will look to you for that strength, for that healing, for that encouragement, and that we will always look to you and thank you daily for that grace and that mercy. We thank you so much for your Son, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.